God.
Sums it up.
It basically does. Richard Roper stepped into the studio. It's Ro Contra with Anna DeVlantis. Anna off today. We're putting the band back together, Richard.
Yeah.
Richard and I used to host a 1-hour sports show over at the other radio station. It was the most ill-conceived and and awkward idea by radio management ever.
I'll jump in when I disagree.
When a station is in free fall, as that station was at that point, they were like, you know what we need? We need a sports show. We got to put it on right in the middle of afternoon driving. Go get you and Rich and sweet Lou Kanellis. And you guys just talk about sports. I go, well, what would you like the show to be about? Yeah, sports.
I totally forgot you guys did that.
Well, so did everyone else. Well, the best part was the first idea was, well, we'll send Rich home because he's never followed sports. He's not a sports fan. He doesn't really go to the games or anything. So, and we'll just let him go home early. And then Ro was like, yeah, I think he knows a little bit about it. So, and then the other great thing, Kev, was it was called the WLS Sports
pregame
show. But there were no games that ever followed ever. We had the rights to nothing. We didn't have a wolf. We didn't have a fire. We didn't have a lug nut. We didn't have a Thornridge Falcon.
The pregame to Notre Dame football in 3 months down the road.
That was basically what it was. I think once we let into a Notre Dame basketball game. I believe that happened. And Sweet Lou Kanellis, the third head of that three-headed monster on that show.
Yeah.
You know what was really funny, Lou, is we were asking everybody around here, anybody remember the name of that show? And nobody did.
That's
Rich
never
didn't.
Good.
I didn't. The producers didn't. Nobody could remember. We had to look it up. Apparently, it's on Wikipedia.
And it was so basic, right? The WLS Sports Pregame Show.
Yeah, it was pretty awful. It was pretty awful.
Like asking Scott Bio to name all his failed pilots over the years, you know. Charles, he was first in charge.
We had a good time doing it, didn't we?
We always do.
There were a few beers and a few dogs and some chicken wings, and it would have been just like any other day.
Pretty much.
And pretty much the case. All right. Well, but now, you know, we all have real jobs and successful jobs. So let's focus on that for a moment. You are on the field at Wrigley, and
you
are getting ready the Cubs. I know you're also taking some BP, too. You're like Tebow.
Bill's like him.
You're gonna
a better hitter than him.
Wow.
So the Cubs are they doing one of those practice games where they like a simulated game, or are they just taking batting practice?
No, this is a real workout. They're taking infield. They've been taking shagging fly balls. Guys are going through batting practice right now. You got Wilson Contreras up at the plate. Arrieta was up there about 20 minutes ago. Literally knocked one about 440 feet in the center.
Amazing.
Just like he did when he and Baumgartner were out here ripping it up last week. So, no, this is legit, man. All the media's in town and getting ready for the NLCS, which opens up tomorrow night at 7:08.
Lou has
19:08 military time.
Yeah, I know. Nice. That's something that goes right into that 108 thing that Grant DePorter keeps selling us.
Oh,
yeah.
Geez.
Hey, Lou, did Joe release the roster for the series yet? And also, did the Dodgers release their starting rotation yet for the series?
I haven't seen either. Okay. I'm waiting for both. All I do know is this, that no word yet. Kershaw may pitch Sunday, believe it or not. The guy's an absolute machine. But Kyle Hendricks was walking off the field after throwing. He said he felt great. And then, sure enough, not soon after, Madden said that Hendricks would start game two. Arrieta game 3 and Lackey game 4.
Right. Same as the NLDS, that worked out fine.
Yeah, it actually works out great for the Cubs because this Dodger team can't hit lefties. I mean, if you're talking about jumping in front in this series, there couldn't be a better guy. I mean, forget the fact that Lester has been arguably the Cy Young winner in the National League. That's how good he's been. And against LA, he's been terrific as well, allowing one run in 15 innings and striking out 16 Dodgers in his starts against LA this year. But LA has just been absolutely horrid against left-handers. They've got no right-handed hitting on this squad. Unfortunately, Lester's the only lefty as part of the starting four makeup in this starting rotation. Now, don't forget, you can bring in a Travis Wood. You can bring in Mike Montgomery, who was terrific in long relief in that Giants series. And you've got arguably the best closer left in the two championship series in a row. This Chapman is a left-hander as well.
Yeah, there's a guy who is when he threw it on the dirt, it was 101. You know, when he took a little bit off, well, it's loose.
His off-speed stuff is 92 mile per hour slider.
Crazy. Burley has to get in a car to get his ball to ever. Hey, Lou, I wanted to ask you too. Does it feel like, you know, once you know who your opponent is, does it help them kind of lock in a little bit? You know, they had a couple days of celebration, but now they know it's the Dodgers because you're almost in limbo for a day or two. Now you can even focus a little bit more.
Yeah, but you know what, Rich? I tell you, I think with this Cubs team, we the media make that out to be a bigger story than it really is to the players. I mean, yeah, is it important to them that they know who's pitching so they can take a look at, you know, what the pitcher's done and to know if they, you know, when they're going to get Kershaw in this series? Yeah, but this Cubs team is different. You know, they won 103 games, excuse me, during the regular season.
Right.
And they're the best team in baseball. And I really buy what Jake Arrieta is preaching when he says, I don't give a damn who we play.
Yeah, they're
that's how good they are. They don't care, and they don't care who's pitching.
Right. Their feeling is more of these guys have to play the Cubs. That's what they should worry about than they're worrying about who they're playing.
No question. No question. And here, it's the veterans like Arrieta. You know, some of the other veterans on the team aren't as outspoken as Jake, but you watch a guy like Wilson Contreras or Javi Baez, two kids, and they've got no fear out there. Absolutely none.
So
I mean,
much
it's
fun.
Just so fun to watch.
Those are the two most fun guys to watch. You nailed it, Lou, because, well, Baez is just, he's like a cat. Mm. He's El Gato.
Okay.
Can I start that? Can I start the El Gato thing?
Or do you think El Gato, I like that.
Yeah, because he's – Lou, pick up on that, and then we'll just keep pushing that until he accepts it. Because he's like – when he goes to cover second base on a stolen base or a runner coming into second, he gets in the air like that. It is one of the most beautiful things. The catcher to second base out is the Cubs are doing this. It's like it's a piece of art when you see how he actually lays the tag.
Bro, his tag is so fast. It's almost like watching a magician out there. And I'm saying that seriously. Mm-hmm. Not facetiously. He's just so fast, and he's so confident. Yeah, because I used to play, and I used to think to myself, you know, because I watched him the other night with that tag, and I thought, man, he doesn't even think, do I have the ball before I make the tag? He just knows he has it and makes the tag. You know, remember when you used to play, you used to make sure, okay, I got it in the web, boom, now put down the tag. This guy's putting down the tag as it's going in the web.
You're assuming it ever got in the web for me. That was a bad assumption. Lou, let me before we move over to something a little less pleasant than this. I wanted to say that all of us were guilty of this in the media. We were asking everybody that we could talk to about this: who would you rather play? Who would you rather play? Who would you rather play? And I'm watching the end of the game last night, and I see the Dodgers win, and the Nationals, who are a great team, go down. And I thought to myself, you know, that is the stupidest question ever. The answer should always be whatever team lost, that's the team you would have wanted to have played because they're beatable, right?
Yeah.
How do you decide?
Yeah. We were hoping to play the Twins.
Yeah.
The heck?
Yeah.
That didn't look too good this year.
in this case, guys, I think playing the Dodgers plays right into the Cubs because
let's be careful.
I know but
stop it.
You know, they needed to use their ace last night to close out Washington. They used their relief, you know, their closer. What was it, three innings, Jensen? So hey, if it's all set up for the Cubs to win and win big in game one, and just as I say that, they better not be down 0-1 going into Sunday, that's for sure.
Right. Do we have time for me to give Lou, a fellow White Sox fan, my quick window of opportunity for White Sox fans of a certain age, how you can root for the Cubs to win the whole thing?
Uh-oh.
Are you ready for this? Okay, here's how it works, Lou. It has to be, for White Sox fans out there, if your dad or grandfather or uncle died before the year 2005, that means the only World Series he saw was 1959. The White Sox won game one, 11-0. It looked like they were going to win the World Series. And those darn Dodgers beat the White Sox and crushed your dad, your uncle, your great-grandfather, crushed their hopes, because if they died before 05, they never saw the White Sox win a World Series. So go, Cubs! Crush those Dodgers! How about that?
Hey, Rich, I saw you defending your pride as a White Sox fan last night. Why are White Sox fans going after you?
I have no idea. Because I said I was enjoying watching well-played baseball. And they're like, I kept jumping on the bandwagon. Next time you're in Bridgeport, we're going after you with pitchforks.
You know, he's like what Mitt Romney is to Hillary Clinton right now.
I was like, oh my gosh, guys.
All right, hey, let me. All right, I got to switch gears here for just a second. I know we're supposed to talk about the Bears here, but what is there to talk about? This is the worst Bears team maybe I have ever seen. There's so little hope for anything except the running back. I like him.
Jordan Howard.
I always forget his name. I think he's something around which the offense can build. They got nothing, and they got less than nothing. And now they're like, is it official now that Jay Cutler's not going to play on Sunday?
Well, it's never official because John Fox just refuses to make it official ahead of time. So I would say it's official since the guy hasn't thrown a pass this week. I will say this. I think that's a little extreme, Ro, to say that it's the worst worst Bears team you've ever seen. Do I need to remind you of the Craig Krenzel? Craig Krenzel, I choose to forget it. Believe me, those were nightmarish days as a Bears fan.
The Craig Krenzel era?
Hutchinson. Yeah. But I do want to tell you that there was some positive out of camp today. Pernell McPhee started practicing, and whether you like it or not, because I know there are a number of fans that would wish all these players that are out injured would stay out injured all season long, so the Bears would end up with one win and get the first pick in the draft.
Yes.
But this team is slowly starting to get healthy, which could work against that one win dream of everyone's out there.
Yeah,
so,
that's quite a dream.
I see this 6-10. That is exactly.
They're always 6-10. Just mediocre enough to draft ninth.
And here's what's unfortunate. You're in mediocrity hell then.
Yeah, I know.
What do you got? You got the 14th pick in the first round. Big freaking deal. Look what they did. Look what that did with Kevin White and Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, they start looking around for a soft offensive tackle with a history of knee injuries.
All right. I got nothing.
Winnable game though Sunday. Jacksonville in town.
See, that's
there's
the problem.
Some hope. There's some
See,
hope
that's
for you.
That's the problem.
They call that the micro regional game on the network, I think. Parts of Chicago and Jacksonville will get that.
Well, they're favorites for only the second time this season. They're 3-point favorites. So, I'm out of the prediction business after what's happened these first five games.
Yeah.
But I know which way I'm going on Sunday. And can I just remind you of one thing, that I've got a pregame show before the Cubs game tomorrow with Bobby Dernier at 6:00.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Bobby Dernier,
Fox 32, Chicago.
Bobby Dernier, you know, one of the heroes of that the greatest game ever played. The June 23rd game, 1984.
Ah.
Yeah. So, yep. And one of the, how about the start into the NLCS with Bobby D leading off that game one against the Padres when they won 13-0 and Bobby D going long in that game.
Yeah. Jacked one out. So did Rick Sutcliffe in that game. Wow. But why are we talking about that when we have the Cubs in the NLCS tomorrow night against the hated Dodgers? It's fun, though. It's fun to have that. You know, Dodgers and Cubs, the two of the great storied franchises in all of baseball. So it'll be fun. All right. Thank you, Lou. Thank you, Sweetness.
All right,
thanks,
guys.
Buddy.
All right,
see you, Lou.
Who's the best?
Did he say he had access to the celebration room?
He did not say that, Violetta.
I did. Out in San Francisco, Violetta. I don't know if I mentioned that to you yet.
You know, you're no good to me if you're not bringing me with.
That really is. That is her bumper sticker. Says it right on her car.
Do you know how I can
you're
get
no
to the
good
celebration
to me. No, you're no good to me if you're not bringing me with.
That should be everyone's motto.
It's on our business card, too. You're no good to me.
It's like Don Draper's second wife. Set me up in a pad in California. I'd like to be an actress.
Is the celebration room that
Here we go.
Hard to get to? I mean, come on.
It's top secret.
It's not that big of a...
Are you going to go cover tomorrow night? Are you covering tomorrow
night?
Yes,
I'll be
night?
At every home game. Work in the streets.
No, see, no.
That's not what that
no,
means.
No,
oh, God.
No, that's a different beat. Name. That's a different God. Beat.
Hold on a second. Wait. Give me your phone number.
Do you like a fruit basket?
It was like a...
I've got fruit in this basket. Somebody important sent me a fruit basket. Would you like a Tic Tac?
Work in the streets. That was like sweeps in the 80s, you know. High-heeled hell. Our own Carol Marine goes out there to talk to young ladies.
Well, obviously, I'm only a four. I can't even get to the celebration room.
Four. All right. Let us take a quick, quick timeout, and then we'll come right back here. We coming up. Carnarvon Wagon's going to roll. We've got, oh, this is very interesting. We have the Dead in Chicago. The walking tour of haunted Chicago.
Oh, I read about that.
Yeah.
The Chicago Bears?
I should have to check that out.
Layla Royale will be here to discuss this with us.
I want to know more about that. I read about that. I wanted to check that out.
Plus, Mr. Roper is here. He's going to review The Accountant, which is a new Ben Affleck film, which looks really very, very good. And then Kevin Hart's new film. Concert film with a twist.
Yep.
When's the booze here? 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock.
It's in the celebration room.
Yeah,
it's only
certain
people have access
to it. Do not tell Violetta about the celebration room. Do not tell her we built our own celebration room here and we're not
letting
her in.
For after a good show?
Yes.
We all meet in there?
With
pop some champagne.
Smoke machine and a disco ball.
So you guys are never meeting then?
No.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.